Does. Check, 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 check. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning?
Ooh, woo-hoo!
A few of you. That's good. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Go Seahawks. Even though they're not in the Super Bowl.
Some of us could care less.
But praise the Lord. So this afternoon, I don't know if you guys know this, but Nancy and I love our youth students so much. Like, passionately in love with our youth kids. So much that we're inviting them to our house this afternoon. This morning, I was like, is this a good idea? Like, we're going to see them tomorrow. But anyways, I was picking up the house this morning. Why? I don't know. Teens don't care what your house looks like. But, you know, people are coming over. So I moved one of our couches and just to rearrange the living room. Now, I know my house is lived in. I know that. But I would never in a million years say that my house is a dirty house. Okay? But the things that were underneath our couch. I want you guys to, when you know, if you, you, we're a family of six, okay? And I guess I forget until I move the couch and I'm like, there's like eight water bottles and vitamin water bottles, Skyly, and, you know, M&Ms and like socks, Skyly. And I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, it was one of those, and I had the baby and he's walking, crawling around, and I move the couch just thinking like, oh, it's going to be super simple, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like get the baby because he's going to like start putting stuff in his mouth. So anyways, just mess, right? And I cleaned it up and it's fine. It's clean now. So, but I just started thinking about like how many times that we come to Jesus and we come to church or we go to prayer and we keep this stuff hidden under the couch, under the rug, under the bed, right? We're like, God, I'm here to praise you and I'm here to worship you. And he's like, that's awesome. Yes, please do that. But can we move the couch? Can I see the junk under the couch? Can we talk about that? No, God, we don't need to deal with that today. Because the living room looks good. If we don't move the couch, the living room looks fine. Right? But God's saying, can we move the couch? Right? I read this morning. Actually, Pastor Mike said it this morning in this verse. This is John 8, 36. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. How many of you guys know that's true? How many sons and daughters do we have in the house today? In the Passion, it says it like this. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. Become a true son, become a true daughter, and be unquestionably free. Here's what I'm talking about today, church. Let's worship this morning with an open heart. Let's worship this morning with a transparent heart, with a vulnerable heart. Let's sing these songs, absolutely. But let's do it from a place where we're laying down things today. I don't know about you guys, but I want to leave this place different than when I came in, right? I don't want to just do another service. I want to leave this place just a little bit different, a little bit more transformed, a little bit closer to Jesus. Amen? So why don't you guys stand this morning and take the stance. Take the stance of whatever it looks like for you. Whatever it looks like on the outside, I feel like that's powerful. However, I think that there's something that needs to happen on the inside today. That God wants to work on hearts this morning. God wants to move around some furniture. God wants to look in the dark corners. God wants to pull over or pull away the rug. God wants to look under all the things and say, hey, let's deal with that. Because you know what, son? You know what, daughter? I still love you even though there's a bunch of junk underneath this couch. I still love you though, even though you've been sweeping this stuff and hiding this stuff. I still love you. Jesus, we thank you that we are loved. We are loved by you. no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we are loved by you. And God, today as we worship your name, God, today as we praise your name, God, that I declare that a flood, an overpouring flood of love would just be poured out on your people this morning, would be poured out on your sons and your daughters this morning, that today these people would not just be seen as just whatever title they have over themselves, God, but that, Lord, today they would be seen as sons and daughters of a living King, by a loving Father. Today, Lord, I declare that we would step in, Lord, to our rightful place as sons and daughters today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that there's nothing that can keep you, Lord, from loving us. Thank you, Jesus.
shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me, yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. There's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up.
Like the overwhelming, never-ending love of God has stopped for Moses. God has asked him to take his... Wait a minute. Is it Moses that took his son to the... Abraham, sorry. I always get those two mixed up. Isn't that terrible? And I went to Bible college. Okay, so it's Abraham. Abraham, he's asking Isaac to take him on a trip. And it may seem to Abraham that the never-ending and overwhelming love of God has stopped for him. He's asking him to give his only son, his one and only son, as a sacrifice. And at that point, Abraham is like, Lord, you really want me to do that? Like, what about everything I've done for you? You know, what about him being the promise that, you know, I'd have so many kids that the stars, you couldn't even count them like the stars. So they go on this journey. God has them go on this long journey with a servant. And when he sees the destiny ahead, he tells the servant, the past, to stay, and that he'd be back with the boy because he believes in God, even though it seems like his overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love has stopped for him. They climb this mountain and they get up to the top. And there's nothing. There's no answer to the dilemma. It's just the place where he's to sacrifice his heart on an altar. Now he doesn't see coming up the other side of the mountain. It's impossible for him. But God has already sent the answer. His never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love has been sent up the other side of the mountain, a spotless sacrifice. We may not see the answer. We may not be able to discern there's even an answer coming. But can we walk where he wants us to go? Can we do what he wants us to do? I hope you don't mind, Tara, that can I share what I shared with you this morning? I was praying for Tara this morning as I got ready for church, and in my mind, I saw this picture of a very un-Tara-like person. And she's actually dancing before the Lord. I see this reckless abandonment in Tara. And Tara's like, oh boy. Like when I told her, it's like, oh boy. But it wasn't the act that I saw, but the heart that came behind it. That reckless abandonment of the Jesus she loves so much is so evident on her. Can we do that? Abraham is looking at this issue that is hard. And he's saying, Lord, if you ask it of me, I'll do it. But can we do it? Will you do it? You have the opportunity this morning worshiping the really one and only king. I mean, you may think that there's lots of kings around, but I'll tell you, none match or compare. If we walk out of here and this building were to fall or the end of the world were to happen, what did you leave on the altar of your worship this morning? What did you leave for him? And has it been complete abandonment? He loves you so recklessly. He loves you so powerfully. Can we do that back? Can we give that back to him? We're going to move on into other songs, but I want you to keep this in mind. Because what happened with Abraham, the answer that came was the ram came up the other side. The Lord says, don't touch the boy. Grab that ram. Answer came, happened. Sacrifice was made. Him and the boy went back to where the servant is. But they were never the same again. And that's what God promises you this morning. You'll never be the same again when you place that worship on the altar. Amen.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. Thank you. Pray.
Playing this song, and as I was singing, we pour out, the Lord was like, how come you're saying we when it's just you? He said, it's easy to be corporate and say we, and it's really hard to be individual and to say I. And so this is how he had me singing it, and please forgive me, this is just, I've not sung by myself in front of anybody since I was a teenager. So here we go. You're my life. You're my love. You bring light to my darkness. You're my hope. You restore. Together, because God loves us when we gather, but he loves us also when we come to him singularly.
Like it, you are.
Single word, vulnerable, vulnerability. And when Eric shared that about the couch and how, you know, he looked at, you know, the stuff underneath the couch and says, oh my goodness, look what's collected here. Vulnerability would be that you'd have your friends over, or you'd have your friend over, and you'd be allow them to see what was there. You'd be vulnerable. You'd be saying, look what a mess we made. And you know, to have chains broken in our lives, it takes vulnerability. It takes transparency. You have to be open. You have to say, you know what? I don't have it all together. I don't have it all figured out. I've made mistakes. I probably have done things that have put these chains on me personally. But who the Son has set free is free indeed. And He is a chain breaker. But you got to be vulnerable. You can say, Lord, I want these chains off me. I don't want to be bound anymore by these lies. I don't want to be bound anymore by these works of the enemy in my life. And I really feel that the Lord wants to break some chains here this morning. So if that's you, if you're chained or bound or depressed or broken or hurt or whatever it may be, I encourage you to take a moment as we just do this course one more time. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I hear those chains falling. And just give whatever it is that has been holding you back to Jesus. Because He wants it. It says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you who are weighted down and burdened, and I will give you rest. You got to come. You got to release it. You got to give it to Him. And if we go through a service and we don't give you an opportunity to be set free, to have an opportunity to be changed when you leave, then we're missing the point of the body of Christ. We're missing the point of what we gather together for. Not just to lift Jesus higher, but let Jesus do a work in us so that we're not the same.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
You feel something that's binding you? Come on up. Or right where you are, just lift your hand and say, Lord, I give this to you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sing it again. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. What's he gonna do? Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. What's he gonna hear? I hear those chains falling.
Yes, addictions falling right now.
I hear those chains falling.
Depression
falling,
and anxiety,
falling,
yeah.
Jesus. I hear those chains falling.
Brokenness and hurt.
I hear those chains falling. Chains falling right now, right now. I hear those chains falling.
Jesus,
you're doing a work.
Hear those chains falling.
Falling, they're falling. I hear those chains falling.
See, there's power.
There is power. Jesus,
we'll see our church.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
What's he gonna do?
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
What's he gonna do?
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
So I want us to do an exercise we haven't done for a long time. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. We're going to say Jesus loudly. As much as you want to be set free, raise your voice. We'll do it 3 times, and then we'll just worship the Lord for a moment. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
Hallelujah! Thank you for freeing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you, God, for taking, Lord, our pains and our suffering to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for taking our healing, Lord. Thank you, God, for being the one who has set us free. Lord, you have set us free, and we will live free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, take a few moments and greet each other. God bless you all.
My treasure, my great reward, and I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. Your love made a way. Thank you.
If hey guys. All right, let's make it back to our seats. So good to see all of you and your beautiful faces. Amen, amen. All right. So I'm just going to take this time to pray for our city because it needs prayer. Yeah. So Jesus, I thank you for all that you do for the city of Yakima. Lord, all that you've done and that you will continue to do. Papa, I just pray for your favor to fall on the city of Yakima like never before. Papa, that you would begin to just pour out your favor in just significant ways, Lord, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know it's you. Yes, I thank you, God, for, I thank you for the leaders that you've put in place over the city of Yakima. Father, I pray for just vivid dreams, Lord, from you with blueprints on what to do next, God, and how to lead this city into greatness, the greatness that you've called it to be. And Father, that us as citizens also would just begin to have dreams, Father, like never before, that you'd begin to speak to us, God, and just undo us, Jesus, undo our own thoughts and perceptions of the city, God, that you would begin to speak the things that you see in the city, Father, and that we would begin to do those things and breathe those things and pour out those things over the city, Lord. And when we encounter the other citizens of the city, Father, that they would encounter you, God, that you would do a work in us so great, Lord, that it would be impossible for people to not be changed when they're encountering us, Lord, because of you who is in us, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for giving us a place to come together, to be able to fellowship with one another and sharpen one another and grow each other. God, I thank you for community. I thank you for your love. I thank you for just being such a good dad. Such a good dad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah? All right, here you go.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's good, isn't he?
He is.
Well, we have a few announcements. We have prayer coming up February 26th from 6 to 8. This is to dovetail kind of our all-night prayer. It's not going to be all night, but it is to continue this atmosphere of hosting the Lord and bringing our hearts before Him, bringing our lives before Him. We've just gone through a 21-day fast, and it, for a lot of us, it revolutionized not just our walk, but almost like ignited our hearts and revitalized us and gave us a fresh fire. You know, it's easy to let the fire and the coals kind of dwindle down, and it was really good. So on the 26th, which is a Saturday night, it's going to be Saturday night prayer most of the time. Sometimes maybe we'll have another night, but The key is just to come. If you're not somebody that prays a lot, don't worry about that. You can just come and sit, you know, and as you start to incubate and
marinate,
you know, and stay in that environment, prayer will come. You know, I don't know if any of you have put on a worship song, even though you were feeling kind of down and you start listening to, especially if it's a favorite song, all of a sudden, you know, worship kind of comes to your heart and you sing along with it and you start forgetting your situation, your circumstance, and how you may be feeling. So just want to give everybody an opportunity to come to that. And then on the 27th, which is the next day, do you want to say what it is? Or do you want me to? Waffle.
It should be worship, the word, and waffles.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, yeah.
He's so obedient.
He is.
So what it is that we're going to meet for regular worship and the word, but right after church, we're going to be over here in the overflow room enjoying waffles that Zeke and Tara make for us.
Amen.
Woo! So come hungry, and if you would like to do anything and feel led in your heart, talk to Tara. She's the one that is able to take in the information and doesn't. So you don't hear Zeke say, "Why don't you ask Tara? I'll just save you that step. You just go straight to the one that knows." That would be Tara. But we're going to enjoy waffles after church on that Sunday.
Exactly. And I want to thank everyone for giving. I want to thank you for being tithers and offerings and, you know, to keep the lights on, to keep this this house open. There's a lot of expenses that are tied with this building. And God has been full of grace, and Grace International has been full of grace for us. But if you would like to give online, it's onelifefamilyworship.com, or you can give up the front here, and there's a box in the back. So thank you, everyone who gives. We, as we said in the letter for everyone who gave this year, we just pray God's blessing upon your life as you give. So,
amen.
So, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, let's not read the whole chapter.
Okay.
Time.
All right.
It's up to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, let's okay. Do it. That way they'll have it.
Okay.
But I wanted to say this, that we were going through the book of John for the last 2.5 years, and we've kind of taken a little bit of a hiatus from it. What's that?
2.5 years.
It's been that, I think, isn't it? Maybe it's been 2 years. It's been a long time. But anyway, it was a wonderful journey, but I do want to finish it. I'd like to try to be through it right around Easter time is kind of my goal. That doesn't mean we're going to preach on it every single Sunday, but who knows? We'll see what the Lord leads. This is one of my favorite chapters in the book of John. I mean, I have a lot of them, but this is one of my favorite because it's actually a recorded prayer of Jesus. Mm-hmm. How many have heard of the Lord's Prayer when the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, how can we pray? Teach us to pray. And he tells them how to pray. And that has the title, the Lord's Prayer. Well, this, though, is the Lord praying. This is Jesus praying for 26 verses.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. This is not that one.
This is Jesus praying for his disciples, praying to the Father. And we hear the heart of Jesus in this prayer.
Love it.
And the reason that I'm back to this is because I was on a call with Tim this week and had a Zoom call. It was wonderful. And he was sharing with me about how the Lord really blessed him with this chapter. The day that he was feeling like the most kind of vulnerable
and raw.
And raw, you know. And so it reminded me that we need to get back to John. And so the Lord used that to quicken my heart. And so today we're going to talk about what is eternal life. Yeah, amen. Okay, so Gabe's going to read through the chapter. He's saying, we don't need to read through the chapter. And I said,
yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. We need to read through the chapter.
And this is New King James Version, correct?
This is the ESV.
ESV.
ESV. I use the ESV.
What's that stand for?
English Standard Version.
Okay, there you have it. John 17, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, don't you just love that he lifts his eyes to heaven? I mean, just love that. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That would be us people.
Mm-hmm.
That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Praise the Lord. I love that last part, that the love that which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So this is the Lord's Prayer. Now, it may not be that way in your Bible. You may just say that a priestly prayer, sometimes it's labeled, or Jesus praying, to the Father. But it really is, this is the Lord's heart, and it's heart for us. And so I wanted to focus on verses 1-3 today, because I think they communicate a truth that a lot of us need to be reminded of. And we'll go ahead and I'll read this part, since you probably out of breath after all that, right?
Is it also the ESV here?
This is also the ESV, yeah. The other ones I think are labeled, hopefully.
Okay.
So it says here, when Jesus had spoken these words... Now, the words are basically chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. If you want to go back and read those, he's communicating his instructions to his disciples, almost like his final marching orders. You know, we have in Matthew 28 where it says, go and make disciples of all nations. But those chapters, you hear the heart of God for us as his people.
It's kind of like the lecture on the final exam.
Yeah, exactly.
The lecture before the final exam.
I mean, that's where we hear about that we're to love each other, and as we love each other, they'll know that we're his disciples, that we're to let the Holy Spirit be the one that teaches us and guides us. I mean, there's so much truth in there that he's going to prepare a place for us. But after he spoke all these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. I think that's one of a key thought right there, is that when we live a life that glorifies God, it's like, or that people are seeing our good works, it glorifies God. It lets people know that God is good. As we treat others with kindness and love and care, it lets others know that God is good, not just us. Mm-hmm. Especially if we're saying, hey, don't look at me. I'm just a human being that he saved. And if you knew me before Christ, you wouldn't have liked me. Mm. You know, you may not have been kind to me,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord's kindness to me through salvation has allowed me to be kind and love you. And it says, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. So he's given him all authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whosoever the Father gave to him. Mm-hmm. And we know that right away, those first disciples and the ones that were following him that weren't necessarily the apostles, they were ones that were given eternal life. Right. And when he left and then he sent the Holy Spirit, that day of 3,000, they were given eternal life. And you, if you know Jesus right now, you've been given eternal life. But what is this eternal life? This is what it says. And this is eternal life. Some people may say, well, I know what it is to get eternal life. You know, you have to, you know, quit sinning, you know, or you have to, you know, go to church every week and tithe. And, you know, it's sometimes a behavioral thing. Behavioral. There we go. Yeah. I knew you'd get it for me. I knew it wasn't quite right. But this is eternal life. Now, this is Jesus himself. I always love it when Jesus basically describes something for us because it kind of eliminates all argument. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, but, you know, you can read this over here. It's like we can kind of pick. No, Jesus said this to the Father in prayer. And he says, and this is eternal life. And what is it? Is it that they go to church or that they stay, you know, that my disciples stay good? No, it's that they know you.
The only true God.
Eternal life is in knowing God.
Yeah.
It's in knowing God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's go ahead and look at this in verse 3 in the Message and the Amplified, because it's pretty powerful. Go ahead and read it.
And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent.
And this is the real
and eternal.
Yeah. I love the Message talks if you want real life, you know, because, you know, we all live a life, you know, some of us live, you know, more high on the hog than others, you know, seeming financially.
Right.
But that's not real life. Real life is what's happening inside of us. Mm-hmm. Real life is what the condition of our heart is like. What is the inner man in us like? That's real life. I mean, you know, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Well, in the process of losing your soul, you're usually miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that mind, will, and emotions isn't being, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, redeemed by God, mm-hmm. it's usually in a bad state. And I'm sure if we could talk with just about anybody, I don't care if we're talking, you know, the owner of Amazon, you know, right now, if we were talking to him, I bet if he was honest, there were areas in his life, if he doesn't know God, that are hurting, that have pain. Now, he may try to, you know, cover them up, you know, as much as he can with the things of this life. And he obviously has the opportunity to do a lot of covering up. But I'm here to tell you, I think without God in our lives, we're not right. We're not right inside.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Coca-Cola. Did you know Coca-Cola is the first real pop? Coke. They called it cola back then, but it was before Pepsi. Sorry, Eric. It was before 7-Up and root beer and all of those things. I'm not saying it was before sarsaparilla.
I was going to say, don't say
because
sarsaparilla.
Because root beer and sarsaparilla are really close. But Coke was the root. That's why they gave it that tagline. It's the real thing. Because they didn't want people mixing up this Pepsi Coke thing.
Yeah.
They weren't about that. And this is God saying, don't mix this up here. And this is the real and eternal life. Not something somebody has sold you on a street corner somewhere. Or something that you have presumed in yourself is the real thing. This comes straight from the horse's mouth, as mm-hmm. you want to say. It comes straight from Jesus. This is the real life. This is what it's all about. It's not about what somebody else told you. This is the real thing.
Right. And it's to know you, to know the Father. It's
yes.
to know you, Father. In knowing the Father, guess what? You don't have to worry about right. your behavior.
Right.
Your behavior is going to change. How many of you, as you've gotten closer to God, stop doing certain things? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you're not completely a clean slate yet, but you're a work in progress. But
aren't we all, though?
Yes, but as we get closer to Jesus and get to know Jesus and know the Father, He transforms us. He changes us. He renews our mind. He renews who we are inside, and we start to have different behavior.
Right. Love that.
Yep. I love the Amplified here. This is good. I'm going to go and read it.
Okay.
And this is eternal life. It means, in other words, the eternal life, to know. To know. And if any of you are into Greek at all, that's the word genosko, and it literally means to know intimately, to know closely, to find out who someone is. It's a purposeful type of knowing. It's not like, oh, I know about, you know, the restaurant down the street because somebody told me about it.
Right.
No, to know that restaurant, you would go and eat at that restaurant. Mm-hmm. You would try their menu. You would sample the food. Oh, I know that restaurant you're talking about. They have great food. That's the kind of know that we're talking about. To eat. To partake of. Right.
You, like our sweet Mike Gobb, would know every waitress's name. Would know who to call ahead of time to try and pay the bill. You would know it.
Yeah.
You would know it like you know your spouse.
And that's the other
one
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you know your spouse. It means to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with, and understand. Now, is that not ever a description of a marriage? To recognize your spouse, to give them honor, and mm-hmm. to recognize their giftings and their callings and their purposes and their temperament and all of those things. To become acquainted with, you know. Mm-hmm. Not just know you, you know, like the first day I met you, but also know who you are now mm-hmm. and who you've become, and realize that there's a transformation that's taken place. Right. And then to understand that transformation is part of God working in you, you know.
Right.
I mean, hopefully we're not the same people that we married when we married 28 years ago.
Hope not.
Almost 28 years ago. Yeah.
That'd be a lot of work to redo, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness.
And to understand, to know you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the holy one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. I want to say this. I've heard of I hope I get it right. What is it? The evangelical deconstruction? Is that what it's called?
Deconstruction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something going on right now called evangelical deconstruction. And basically what it is they're saying it's like Reformation, but it's not. It's like, how do we apply the scriptures? It's like applying the scriptures to the world. It's conforming the scriptures to the world, where that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're to be not conformed to the world, and the scriptures aren't to conform to the world. The world is to understand truth, and then truth transforms the world. And when we come to Christ, we're of the world, and then he changes our heart, and he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And guess what? All of a sudden, we're being renewed, and that world becomes less and less a part of us.
Right.
So this deconstruction movement...
It's going on right now.
It's going on right now. Part of the people who are leading it don't even believe that Jesus was God. They don't even believe in his divinity. And these are like evangelical leaders, and their people are reading their books and studying them. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is that's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. If Christ didn't come in the flesh, that's how you test the spirits, by the way. If you ever have somebody come to you and say, hey, I'm from God, and I'm going to tell you something, and you're going, oh, I don't know this person, this entity or whatever, say, well, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And if they say, no, well, you know that's not of God. Because I believe that the devil can't even agree with that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So this anointed one, the Messiah, to know, we know the Father, and then we get to know the Messiah. And
right.
This is eternal life. And so what is, I mean, when we think of eternal life, we think, oh, that means to go to heaven. That means to, you know, to die and to experience our, you know, our next chapter of our existence. But we get to experience eternal life here. The Holy Spirit is a deposit, a down payment. And the Holy Spirit abides eternal life. Mm-hmm. So there's an eternal life that's already working in us. Mm-hmm. It's already, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, hatching. It's already growing. You know, maybe small, hatching. Yeah, maybe small. Let's go ahead and look at another verse here that I think is interesting because it talks about, It talks about the knowing idea and how important it is. So Matthew 7, 21 through 23.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
I mean, this is I always, when I read this, I go, wow, these were some practicing believers, it sounded like. Cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name. I'm thinking of miracles.
Prophesy
in your name. In other words, from the outside, it looked like, wow, these people know God.
And from the outside, it looked like, oh, we can trust them.
Yeah.
They're doing things that Jesus did. Jesus prophesied. Jesus cast out demons.
Jesus did many wonders.
Yep. Yeah.
But what was the key here? And then I will declare to him, I never knew you.
And why?
Because they didn't know him. Because
they didn't know him.
They didn't want to know him. I mean, we have an idea that it's possible to, or have it communicated to us, it's possible to look like everything's going on great as a Christian, and yet maybe you don't even have a relationship with God. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, and he was speaking to a generation, that generation that had Pharisees and Sadducees, and they all looked good, smelled good. People honored them. People, oh my goodness, that's a Pharisee. You know, they've studied the law for, you know, their whole life, and, you know, and they keep it 100%, and they were, you know, esteemed by the people. And yet most of them didn't want anything to do with Jesus because he was messing with their stuff.
Yeah.
He was taking their I guess for lack of a better term, their game and turning tables upside down, you know?
Right.
And basically saying, worship the Lord.
Well, don't you think the key word is the K-N-O-W, to know him?
Oh, it is the key word.
Like, that is the key word, right? So I remember...
And it's a process.
Yes, but I remember watching this one thing where they blindfolded a bunch of mothers, and their little children, toddlers, were across the room. And so the mom, oh wait, I'm gonna back up. It's the child that was blindfolded, and the moms were not blindfolded. And they had the child start at the beginning of the lines of moms, and the child would go up, and she would pick them up, and the child would feel her face and smell her scent and like, no, that's not my mom, and go down the line. And when that child reached his mother, I'm not kidding you, like the big smile broke out, the arms went around her neck, like you could tell, even though his eyes were covered, he knew her.
Wow, that's good.
He knew her smell. He knew her touch. He knew the way she felt when she was near him. He was able to completely become her child. All the rest of them is like, that ain't my mama. But when he got to mom, it's like that baby melted into her.
That's so
Do
good.
Do you melt into Jesus? Do you really know him, where if you come upon him, you're going to know his smell, his essence? You're going to know the feel of who he is in you? You're going to recognize him without really even having to open your eyes. You're going to know him.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. That's that knowing.
Yeah. 23 says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Isn't that interesting that not knowing Jesus, what follows is lawlessness, sin, your own ways. Knowing him, we then follow his ways, because to know him is to love him, and to love him is to honor him. To honor him means I'm not going to do things that I know hurt him.
And there's going to be a switch that happens mm-hmm. where we can just melt into who he is, where we have the okay, the not the authority, but we have the permission. I don't even want to say that. It's just this. You recognize him, and he recognizes you. Your spirit agrees with his spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a unity that happens.
Koinonia. It's called fellowship.
Yes.
It's called oneness.
It just happens.
One more verse. Philippians 3:9-11.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Do you know who this is? This is Paul. This is Paul, the one who, you know, was in the Arabian desert and most likely, you know, visited by Jesus and taught by him, you know, because he says, I was taught these things by Jesus. So we don't know exactly how it happened, but you would think that he knows him. But this is Paul saying to the Philippians, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Mm-hmm. But then he goes on to say, that I may know him. Mm-hmm. We would say, Paul, wait a minute, you know him. You've been preaching him now for how many years? You know, you've been stoned because of knowing him and telling others about him. You've been shipwrecked. You've had all of these things happen to you, and you say you want to know him? Yes, because knowing him is a lifelong process. None of us know him yet. I believe eternity will still be discovering him to know him more.
Even still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jesse reminded me on Wednesday night, those cherubims, those beings that are crazy looking, you know, the lion, the ox, the man, mm-hmm. and the eagles that's flying, and they're constantly saying, holy, holy, holy. In other words, they're constantly realizing more about God, the depths of who he is. And so I want to encourage all of us to just be pursuers of God in your own way.
Purposefully,
passionately pursuing God.
Yes.
Or passionately, purposefully pursuing God, however it goes.
I'm remembering right now, when I first came to know the Lord, I came a little bit kicking and screaming. And I didn't want to go to church, didn't want to do any of this stuff. And you would think, like, how do you get to know the Lord? Read the Bible. Not Eric Lopez. How did I want to know the Lord? By reading a book about him. Not the Bible. Right? Do you remember this?
A summary.
So I went to Borders.
Oh, great.
And I went to the Christian section and just found, I don't even know what, how, I think I actually had my mom buy it, actually. I don't remember anyways. But Nancy and I, Nancy, who knows God, were reading this book, and because it didn't compute, like, how do I get to know him? I read about him in the Bible. I was like, no, there has to be somebody who gives me the Reader's Digest version of Jesus, right? There has to be something easier than reading this giant book, right? And I remember we got a little bit into it, and Nancy was like, this isn't bad, but I don't understand, like, how you're going to get to Jesus from there. And so the only way I was able to actually find him is by getting face to face with him, getting in his word. And I'm also reminded about this analogy that we heard years ago about bankers who you know how they know what a counterfeit is? They don't, the bank doesn't give them a bunch of counterfeit $100 bills and say, hey, study these.
No,
they give them a bunch of real $100 bills
and
say, know this, so that any time a counterfeit comes, you know.
Immediately.
It may look like the $100 bill. It may even feel. But you're going to know that $100 bill so well that you'll know when a counterfeit comes. And the same with God. That, like, this deconstruction stuff, right? It might sound really good. It might sound true. It might sound kind of close to the Bible. The only way we're going to know as believers what the real God is saying, what the real Holy Spirit is saying, is by getting close to the real God and the real Holy Spirit.
And we have his word to do that.
Yep.
And we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's good. Awesome.
It reminds me really quickly of that one thing that we saw, the guy that went over to Japan or China or whatever, and he, Arthur Blessing. He said to the people, how many of you in this room have been in jail or been in prison? And almost everyone raised their hand because they were arrested for worshiping the Lord. And they didn't have the word. They didn't have their Bibles. So the only thing they had was when people would come visit them, they would slide them a piece of paper that had scripture on it. And they never knew when they would be caught with that scripture, so they had to memorize it within a day or so, because if they got caught with it, it would add to their time, but then they would have written on the tablets of their heart, they would have the word. How much is written on your heart?
Right.
Do you know the author? Do you know him? Like, it can be one thing to, I mean, I've read a lot of good books. Sophie's Heart, great book. Redeeming Love, great book. But I want to know the author. I want to know the person that writes the word. And the only way you're going to know that is by asking him, show me. I want to do it the way you want me to do it. I don't want to do it the way the shortcut Eric wants to take, or, you know, the youth that is like, I'm going to grab onto my mom and dad's coattails and I'm going to ride into heaven on that. It doesn't work that way. You're accountable for yourself. Even if you're a youth, even if you're, you know, you're beyond the age of accountability. You need to know Jesus. And if you don't, you need to come down here right now. We'll introduce you to him. And I'm not joking about that. I'm serious. If you want Jesus, get down here. We'll introduce you to him. He will come into your heart, and you will know him in a way you've never known him before.
It won't be the same.
Never the same. Never.
Amen.
The same.
Does anyone have anything else? I know we're a little long today, but just want to make sure. Herman. Yeah, I was wondering if you had something. Herman. Go ahead and stand over here, Herman. Otherwise, you're going to be behind a display.
So hopefully this can relate, but, you know, we all know John 3:16, right?
And at the end
it says, you know, for those that believe in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Right.
Well, I taken that last word and I changed it to eternal living. Why wait till I get to heaven to start living eternally? I'm going to start doing it now.
Come on.
Oh, that
because that practices
word.
Me to know, hey, I'll walk this way instead of this way. And when I start going this way, Holy Spirit tells me, hey,
get back
this way.
Yeah.
So I hopefully that is not against God's word, because
I
you know,
like
it says
it.
Do not change the word of the Bible.
No,
you know, but
because that actually, that word that is life has the meaning of living and
yes.
how you're going to live as well. So
yes, because
right
I know
on.
that you know, when all of us who are willing and ready to go into heaven, you know, when this body,
yeah.
whatever happens to it, whether we die in an airplane crash, you know, we're not taking it, but we are taking our
that's a good truth.
Our soul. And you know, this phrase you just brought, this devotional.
Oh, evangelical deconstruction.
Yeah, that's been forever. It's not just new. It's just getting stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, right, you know, the religion that we come from, that's what it does. It does not teach God. It teaches saints and spirits, and you worship this image and you worship that image, never telling you the truth. So, but anyways, yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Herman. I love that. Eternal living. That's like a slogan right there. We need to do a bumper sticker. Don't, right? I mean, eternal living, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there is obviously an eternal life where we'll be living in our next state. But, I mean, what did Jesus mean by, that? You know, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have a real life and have a real life abundantly. To me, that's eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
All right, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, for you being the one,
yes,
Lord, that's
Jesus.
At work in all of our lives. Lord, each of us has our own personal walk. Each of us has our devotion, Lord, to you, and each of us has our own, you know, stumbling and waywardness that we have to go, because it's a process, Lord, this Christian walk. But, Lord, one thing I do pray for all of us is that we would come to know you more. Lord, we'd come to know the author and the finisher of our faith. We'd look at you more often, Jesus, so we could see what you look like and describe, Lord, your facial features, Lord, and what your heartbeat sounds like when it beats, Lord, that we'd come to a more intimate, deeper perception and truth and understanding of who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and help us do that. Help us to not be so attached to this life that and in such a way that it keeps us from knowing you. Lord, we know that to know you is to know life eternal, Lord. So we want to know you fully. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Awesome. Have a great day.
Go Seahawks.
No, go Rams, right? Most people are for Rams because of Cooper Cup. Yes.